Good morning, dear church family. May we pray. Lord, please would you speak to us through your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder how you're all doing in lockdown. There are lots of positive aspects that we may be glad about. Watching spring emerge after the winter, hearing birdsong replacing the drum of heavy traffic, at least in the early weeks, and learning that there are lots of clear skies over cities usually covered in polluting emissions from planes and factories and cars. Maybe discovering kindness from previously unknown neighbours. Sensing the country coming together when we clap for the frontline workers, especially in the NHS. But I suspect that most of us have moments of fear and anxiety about the future, whether it's over our families and friends and ourselves catching the virus, or if we'll have a job, whether we can pay the bills, when a vaccine will be available and how effective it will be, whether we'll manage another day of homeschooling, and perhaps even more trivial uncertainties like getting a supermarket delivery. Many of us know what it's like to have sleepless nights and difficult days. For all these fears and anxieties, we long for reassurance. But with a previously unknown disease, no one can be sure about the future. We discover again that we're not in control. No one is. We never were. In our gospel passage for today, Jesus is talking to disciples who are confused and anxious. He's told them he's going away. He's told them he's going to be betrayed and die. But hang on, they were beginning to think he's the Messiah coming to rescue God's people and restore the kingdom to Israel. Isn't that why they came to Jerusalem? What about that wonderful entry into the city only days ago when the crowds shouted Hosanna? It all looks so promising. He can't be leaving them now. They need reassurance. How does Jesus respond?
This reading is from John chapter 14, beginning at verse 14. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. Ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you will also live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them.
Jesus responds with a promise. He won't leave them abandoned as orphans. As we know, an orphan is someone whose parents have either died or given them up, ideally, to be adopted. This practice was common in the Roman world in which Jesus and the early disciples lived, and Paul uses the analogy of adoption to describe what happens when we come into God's family, when we become Christians. If a Roman citizen who had no male heir wanted to adopt a slave from his household, he would pay the parents. Then the boy would no longer be a slave. He would have any debts he had cancelled. And he would become the son and heir to the Roman citizen, taking his name for life. It's a wonderful picture of what happens when we become Christians and join God's family as his children. And so Jesus spells out what he plans to do to ensure that his disciples aren't left abandoned when he leaves them. He will send someone else. Someone just like himself. That's what another means. They know him already because he's the Spirit of Jesus who is with them now. That's in verse 17. The word for this someone, parakletos, is translated in various ways to try to capture its full meaning. It's a complex word. It's translated as advocate, an advocate before God, pleading for us on the basis of Jesus' death in our place. It's the Holy Spirit who tells us, reassures us, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because of what Jesus has done for us. He's sometimes called the Comforter, in the sense of making us stronger, encouraging us, rather than merely putting a virtual arm round our shoulders, though he often does that as well. Sometimes he's called the Counselor, giving us his wisdom and advice, because he's the Spirit of Truth. See that in verse 17. The Spirit of Jesus, who is the truth. And he's sometimes called the Helper, which covers all of the above. Jesus will be leaving them physically, but the Holy Spirit will never leave them. What does that look like for us today? Among many titles, the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Sonship or the Spirit of Adoption. We're going to hear a few verses from Romans 8.
Our second reading is from Romans 8, verses 15 to 17. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering.
Adoption means a new identity. I wonder how many of us feel that in lockdown, we're losing our identity, especially if it's been to do with our work or our success in a particular sphere, or in relationships, or in what other people think about us. But how does God see our identity? He sees us as no longer orphans, but children. Children of the Heavenly Father. Do you remember what Jesus said to Mary Magdalene on that first Easter morning in the garden? Because through his death, Jesus bought us, cancelled our debts by paying the price for sin, he could say, tell my brothers that I'm going to my Father and your Father. He says it to us, my Father, your Father, brothers and sisters of Jesus. We belong to his family. We have a new identity. In May 1738, when John Wesley, already an ordained priest, understood that Christ's death meant that he could accept Jesus' righteousness instead of trying to earn God's approval by his good deeds and religious practice, and he did an awful lot of that, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and his heart was strangely warmed with this new realization. He said he'd exchanged the faith of a servant for that of a son. And with the filling of the Holy Spirit, he discovered freedom to keep God's commandments. Love replaced duty. As the Apostle John said, we love because he first loved us. It's the Holy Spirit who brings that love of the Father into our hearts. So I wonder, are you sure of your identity in Christ as his sister or his brother, a child of God? Or are you still struggling to gain God's approval? A new identity. Then a new intimacy. 1700 years before Wesley, Paul made the same discovery, and with it an intimacy with the Father who loved him, an intimacy expressed in the word Abba, Daddy, Dad, Papa, like a secure child with a loving father. That intimacy in relationship with God is something many struggle with, especially if they've had negative experiences with their earthly fathers. If our parents are controlling or volatile or capricious or emotionally or physically absent or simply never expressed their love for us, or worse, if they are or were cruel or abusive, We can easily project that image onto God. We need the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit who leads us into truth, the Spirit of adoption, to set us free from negative ideas about God as Father. I remember praying for a student some years ago in Oxford, and as I was praying for him, I felt the Lord say, "Tell him I'm proud of him." So I did. And he looked up absolutely incredulous and said, "My father's never said that to me." What's the Heavenly Father like? He's like Jesus. As Jesus says in verse 20, "When I'm raised to life, you'll know that I'm in the Father." And he'd said to Thomas some verses back, "Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father." What's Jesus like? Well, as Peter said later on, Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good, welcoming everyone, the outcast, the marginalized, the rich, the privileged, the poor, women, children, even those who disowned him and betrayed him, he loved. He went about teaching and delivering, healing, loving unconditionally, accepting everyone who came to him. God is the Father in the prodigal son story, looking out all the time for his children to come home to him. We can come close to this Father, knowing we too are loved unconditionally, and we can pour out our hearts to him in all circumstances, in lockdown, in fear, in anxiety, as well as in the good times, just as Jesus did all the time, including in his most desperate prayer in Gethsemane, "Abba, Father." There's nothing we can do that will make God love us more, and nothing we do will forfeit that love. And it's the Holy Spirit who reveals that love to us. In Romans 5:5, we read that, "And he will never leave us," as Jesus promises. There's someone in our congregation who had a wonderful experience of God's love recently, finding her way back to faith and to a relationship with God. She was in Tesco's one day when suddenly she felt the extraordinary love of the Father holding her, embracing her like a big warm hug. And she remembered from long ago the words of a hymn, "O love that will not let me go." It was wonderful for her. Do you know the same intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father? Do you feel secure in that love? A new identity, a new intimacy, and last, a new inheritance. Just as a Roman citizen might choose a slave to be his heir, so we read that even before he made the world, God chose us and decided in advance to adopt us into his family. That's in Ephesians 1. And Paul wrote to the Romans, as we've just heard, "You received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory." Again, in writing to the Ephesians, Paul explained that the Spirit is God's guarantee, or a kind of deposit or down payment now for what is yet to come, the inheritance he promised. Eternal life, life to the full, abundant life, begins now, even in lockdown. It is sharing the very life of Jesus, his unbroken relationship with his Father, his power over temptation and sin, his sense of purpose and fulfillment in obeying his Father, his own character, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and of course, his risen life. Identity with our elder brother Jesus will inevitably involve suffering at some point because we live in a world that is hostile to him, but that's nothing compared to the certainty of the inheritance. Jesus prayed for his disciples to be with him and to share his glory, a prayer that his Father is glad to answer. So, do you live as a child already enjoying your inheritance now? a quality of life, the life of Jesus? And are you looking forward to the full deal when you die, or when Jesus returns, if that's sooner? With all the uncertainties presented by COVID-19, Jesus knows we need reassurance now. We don't know what the future holds, but God does. And he knows how fearful we can be in the current crisis. He knows about sleepless nights and anxieties by day. Jesus' words to his disciples in John 14 are for us today. He promises the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Encourager, the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, his very own Spirit, to be with us now and in us forever. Although every Christian has the Holy Spirit, we all need to be filled again and again. So whatever God has been saying to you through the Bible today, be assured he wants to bless you. He promises, "Ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." Verse 14. So let's take a moment now. Perhaps again later, when you can be on your own before him, let's take a moment to tell him what we need and to ask him for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit to reassure us that we are his beloved son or daughter, to bring a new intimacy with the Father, revealing his love, and to give us the security of an inheritance now and in the future, which can never perish, spoil, or fade. It puts this life with all its uncertainties into perspective. May we pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you died and rose again to bring us home to your Father, to our Father, and that you left your Spirit to be with us forever. Please send him again now to give us the assurance that we're yours, revealing the unconditional love of the Father, our Abba, and the experience of living an eternal life now. We ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.